just taking a look at some of the bits and pieces that came out in the US last week. Yeah, we had the GDP numbers came out during the course of the week, and if you took those at face value, it looks as if the US economy is in a very mild recession. They had back-to-back negative GDP reports for Q2 and Q1. Q2 was minus 0.9% annualized, Q1 was minus 1.6%, but yeah, that just looks just wide of the mark. I suspect those figures are actually going to get quite substantially revised, because everything else we look at in the United States is still quite a distance from recession. And even within the GDP numbers themselves, we had consumer spending, for example, which in real terms was up 1% in annualized terms. That was after a 1.8% increase going back the month before. When you've got that largest part of the economy still running pretty strongly, it's very, very hard to say that the US economy is in recession. And the other point about it is what's happened to the unemployment rate over the first half of last year. It's actually come down from a very low 3.9% at the end of December last year to 3.6%, one of the lowest rates we've seen since 1969. And jobs growth is actually running faster in the last 2 months of the second quarter than it was at the tail end of last year, by about 100,000 a month. And on top of that, wage growth is about 5%. Household income growth is over 10%. So it's one of those figures which is not in recession yet, but it could get there because the Fed may still have more work to do. Now, that's not the way that the markets have been thinking through the month of July. The markets have been getting excited that maybe inflation's getting somewhere to a near-term peak. As that comes down, it gives some leeway to the central banks maybe not to raise interest rates as much as they've been promising. Having said that, in the month of July, central banks have been delivering pretty big interest rate hikes. And we saw that with the Fed meeting last week, where they lifted rates by 75 basis points, taking the funds rate to 2.5% from 1.75%. Yes, it's true that in the press conference that came out with that, Fed Governor Jerome Powell gave some indication that, we can keep this under revision, whether we need to do quite such big rate hikes in future. So the market has been trying to take out where it sees both the peak for interest rates and also based on the assumption that inflation is going to come down enough for the central banks to do perhaps less than they were previously expecting. And that's really given the power behind these rallies that we've seen running through bonds, credit, and also through equity markets. This could go on for a little while yet. But it still looks as if the central bank's got a fair bit of work to do down the track to get on top of inflation. Yes, inflation is going to peel back a bit over the course of the next few months. Just the pullback in commodity prices will help that to occur. But as we go further down the track, it's not going to get down anywhere near low enough as far as central banks are concerned with their targets. So we may get this lull over the next could last for a few months before we start to see the pressure building again from the market that interest rates have to go up rather further than they're expecting. So it does make it a pretty complicated outlook because, so you can get these powerful rallies, but at some point they may give up and give up ground a lot as we go a bit further down the track. Just some of the other data which still pointed at some strength in the US last week. We had June personal income and personal spending data came out. They were both on the upside of market expectations at plus 0.6% for personal income. Market was looking at plus 0.5% there for the month of June. And personal spending, which the market thought would be up 0.9%, it was up 1.1%. We're also still getting very, very strong weekly initial jobless claims running in the mid-200,000s, which is consistent still with a lot of strength running through the labour market. Durable goods orders, a lead indicator for what's happening in the factories, particularly for heavy manufactured goods, way stronger than expected for the month of June, up 1.9% after being up 0.8% the month before. The areas where there's a little bit of softness coming through, some of the leading indicators, like Michigan Consumer Sentiment Survey, that came in at 51.5 for the final read there. Also, you know, things like new home sales, for example. We had the June new home sales. They were down by 8.1% after being up by 6.3% the month before. So, you know, a little bit of softness running through some of those indicators on the housing side, which you'd expect. It's an interest rate sensitive area. But for much of the US economy, it's still moving along pretty well, which is also a bit at odds with the way the market's starting to think, you know, the central banks have got less work to do rather than more. This week in the US, we get some purchasing managers' indices coming out, both for the manufacturing sector and also for the non-manufacturing sector. Both of these are July readings. They'll come out Monday and Wednesday. And the July ISM manufacturing PMI was still at 53 going back to the month of June. So still above the expansion contraction line. Market thinks that'll come back to 52, but still a pretty solid result. And the ISM non-manufacturing survey for the month of July expects to come back from 55.3 to perhaps 53.5. But again, solidly above the 50 line, which is the expansion contraction line. Later in the week, the key numbers coming out this week are non-farm payrolls. These have been very, very strong and still looking for quite a firm report. We are just starting to see a little bit of tapering back in terms of wage growth. So average hourly earnings, it's expected they'll be up about 0.3% for the month. If that's the case, the annual rate of change in wages comes back to 4.9 from 5.1. Just to put some sort of indication of where the Fed needs to see this coming back to, if it's going to hit its 2-ish percent inflation target over time, somehow the Fed has to dial that annual wage growth back to about 3%. So it just shows that there's a fair bit of work still there for the Fed to do. And we come down to the unemployment rate, which is sitting down at just about the lowest level we've seen since 1969. It was at 3.6%, still expected to be 3.6%. That's going to have to go back to something with a four handle on the front of it to get on top and to keep wages under control and to get on top to allow inflation to settle over time back to something with a two handle on the front of the number. And so, you know, that's the sort of things I think that will come into greater focus as we go over the course of the next few months. It's the work that still has to be done, even though you've got some signs that things are improving, because undoubtedly the very high inflation readings will start to peel away over the course of the next few months. But remembering that, yeah, we're up in the eights and nines for the inflation rate, so it's a long way it's got to come down to get it back to something which is an acceptable level. Moving to China, the Chinese economy is moving in a slightly different direction again to everywhere else. There's been protests about mortgage payments, whereas credit does look strong in many other markets over the course of July. It's looked pretty awful in China, where there's problems arising out of the downturn in the property sector. So still some weakness running through China. They did start to get a little bit of a lift in some of their leading indicators going back to the month of June. Be interesting to see where they can still continue into July. And this week we get PMIs coming out. That's the purchasing managers' indices, both the manufacturing and non-manufacturing versions. That's both the official version and the cakes in unofficial, or the cakes in sort of more reliable version that's produced by private sector. The official ones, they were at 50.2 for the manufacturing PMI and 54.7 for the non-manufacturing PMI going back to June. They're expected to roughly hold those levels when they come out today. And the cakes in manufacturing PMI is expected to just drift back a bit. It did bounce to 51.7. In June, expect to come back to 51.5 And the non-manufacturing PMI, which was at 54.5, may be coming back a little over the course of the next week. Now, moving to Australia. And last week, of course, we had the CPI came out. It was just a shade less than expectation, but you know, still had a lot of high components running through the CPI. So it came in at 1.8%. Market was looking for 1.9%. As a result of that, the annual inflation rate's gone up to 6.1% from 5.1%. The underlying inflation rates, which give us a little bit better feel for where things are heading over time, they're pretty elevated too. So the trim mean weighted median came in at 1.5% and 1.4% respectively. And that's lifted the trim mean annual rate to 4.9 from 3.7, the weighted median to 4.2 from 3.2. Some of the big items inside the CPI, some interesting ones. For the first time, you know, clothing and footwear was the biggest change during the course of the quarter. That was up by 3.5% quarter on quarter. So, you know, this was, you know, as new stock starts to come in, it's all been repriced. So that was a pretty hefty one. Beneath that, the other ones which are big, you know, housing's now coming through very, very powerfully. Housing cost is up 2.5%, up 9% year on year. Now, you know, we will get some movement in this over the course of the next few quarters because inside the housing part, now remembering that housing is house prices plus also rent. When it comes down to the mortgage payments, that comes in insurance and financial. So we'll see those interest rate changes coming through the insurance and financial component of the CPI. The housing component, the rents are still elevated, but the house prices are now starting to come back and pretty powerfully in places like Sydney and Melbourne. So we may see some capping out of that one over the course of the next quarter or two. The other one, of course, is transport. And transport is the biggest one on an annual basis. In the quarter, transport costs were up 2.3%, but year on year were up 13.1%. That 13.1 is the one that's going to come clattering down over the course of the next few months, even with the excise duty going back into petrol. You know, we've seen with just some pulling back of demand in around the world for oil, the oil price has come back a long way and is still falling. So yeah, we're going to start to see some benefit from that starting to run through the CPI. So one of the interesting things that happened last week was that, you know, after the CPI, we had the government bringing out its latest economic forecasts from Treasury. And Treasury now has inflation peaking at 7.75% later this year. That just looks wrong. We are getting close to a point where inflation is going to start to peak out and come back. And even for the RBA, you know, the RBA has been talking about a 7% inflation rate later this year. There's a bit of doubt now whether we're going to get that high. And you're starting to see quite a deal of questioning between private forecasters and the government forecasters. This is the first time where, you know, the government forecasts have been on the high side of expectations. So, yeah, that can play towards rallies in markets for the time being. But it's a temporary affair because even though, you know, they may be pitching it too high, there's still a lot of work to be done down the track to get inflation back into 2 to 3% target band. That's still going to be very, very difficult. So this week we'll have the RBA will come out with their latest rate decision. They will almost certainly do 50 basis points to 1.85%. They may give a somewhat dovish indication of what they do next, rather like the Fed last week. That may continue to get people quite excited, but there's still work to be done. We don't stop at 1.85%, and we're still going to have the cash rate going up well and truly into the twos, perhaps even touching three at some point over the course of the the next year. Although the very near term, we'll start to see some pressure coming out of the inflation rate, and things will start to look a little bit better. Now, the Australian economy is even further away from recession than the US at this point, and we'll see it in one or two of the other figures that come out this week. We've got second quarter retail sales coming out on Wednesday. We had the June retail sales numbers came out last week. They're up again by 0.2% after a 0.9% increase the month before. The Q2 real retail sales were up in Q1 by 1.2%. Looks like they're up at least that again, probably 1.2%. That comes out on Wednesday. We've got international trade, which is still going absolutely gangbusters for the time being. That comes out on Thursday. And it may not be the absolute record trade surplus we saw going back to May. In May, we had a record trade surplus of $15.96 billion. We're likely to get another $14.2 billion trade surplus coming through in the month of June. To put that into some sort of context, those two numbers together, if you put those together, you're $30 billion of nominal GDP, and that's just for 2 months. That's the equivalent of 5 percentage points growth in nominal GDP. So that gives you some idea of the strength which is running just through the trade sector at the moment. Yes, the commodity prices are now starting to come back, but we've still got quite a deal of power running through those. And later this week, we get the August quarterly monetary policy statement. That's the second quarter or third quarter monetary policy statement from the Reserve Bank. And this one, it'll just be interesting to see what they do with their forecasts. I can't see that they're going to be revising the inflation forecast too much higher. They may revise back a little bit the growth rate, so it may give some indication that they could actually start to bring back the size of rate hikes or pause a bit for a period. But yeah, I think it's shaping up very like what we're seeing for the US. To the extent we do get a pause or some reduction in the size of rate hikes over the next few months, it's a forced on, and it's before we get a bit of an acceleration again next year when they've got to get those annual inflation rates down towards their target to maintain credibility. And that's where the base for inflation next year still looks way too high. In the case of the US, it looks as if it may get down to 4. Here it may get down to around about 3. That's still too high, and they have to get it back inside those ranges. Now, moving to Europe. And Europe last week, we had their July business and consumer confidence numbers came out. It came back a bit to 99 from 103.5. That's still a reasonably good result. Inflation's still running very strongly in Europe. We had the preliminary July CPI. It lifted again to 8.9% year-on-year from 8.6. And the core inflation reading went up to 5 from 4.6. So pretty strong running through that. The Europeans still have a little bit of work to do. They've only just started to touch interest rates, and only very, very modestly at this point, but they've still got more to do. And interestingly, their Q2 GDP came out, the preliminary read, and it's still pretty strong. They were expecting a 0.2% quarter-on-quarter. They got 0.7. And so as a result of that, the annual rate of change in GDP is 4%, which is not too shabby. Not quite at 5.4 where it was in Q1, but this is one of the paradoxes. We have this view of Europe that it's really suffering, but the GDP numbers are almost the opposite of the US. The US, which appears to have every other indicator looking so strong, came in with this softish GDP read. Europe, where we think that they've had so many problems, is coming up with these very, very strong GDP reads. Still some strength running through those numbers. This week in Europe, we'll get their June unemployment rate. This partly explains why GDP is so strong. Their unemployment rate was down at 6.6% across Europe going back to the month of May. That's the lowest since the euro started way back in 1999. So it's very, very low unemployment rate. They're expected to hold that low unemployment rate. And on Wednesday, they get their June producer prices. This is where Europe still has quite a big inflation problem. Going back to May, the annual rate of change in producer prices was 36.3% year-on-year. In June, it's expected to come down a bit to 35.7, but there's still a fair bit of pipeline inflation pressure. And we'll also get some retail sales data, which have been ticking along at 0.1, 0.2% a month. But broadly speaking, the market for the time being is looking on the bright side of things. But the risks are still very much out there because the central bank's work is far from done. And and as for the possibility down the track of interest rate cuts, that's still a very, very long way away for many of these markets. In fact, there's a very real risk that after this 2-3 month period where we get a little bit euphoric about central banks going rather slower, they have to lift the pace again as they're going into next year because they haven't been able to get the unemployment rates up enough to contain wages and inflation to their targets over the medium term. So there's a lot of change which still has to run through market thinking as we go ahead.